My name's Paul. I'm an alcoholic. Member of the East Naples Men's Group. I haven't had a drink since April 17th, 1985. Only through the grace of God, people like you, meetings like this. First 164 pages in that big book. Sponsorship, home groups, and putting in a lot of hard work. You know, it's not easy to get sober. It's easier to stay sober, but it's not easy to come here and surrender, for me anyway. So, John, please keep coming back, buddy. You're off the hook, man. You know, you don't have to feel this way again. Man, relapse really... it really was devastating for me. But for me, it was necessary. That's just my story. Not necessary for everybody, if you do the work. Whenever I'm out there, I think I should be up here. And when I'm up here, man, I wish I was out there. And that's just the ego, you know? I was here 2 weeks ago, and I didn't realize I was coming back, or I wouldn't have told the whole story. But there's stuff I can add. You know, I was thinking today, which is always interesting. I get the most out of a thought. I don't know about you guys. So I say, hey, how you doing? Let me think about that, man. And I'm glad to be here because I don't know if I told you 2 weeks ago, but my wife passed away in April. So I got a sadness in my soul. And it's good for me to be in AA and to come to AA. And I like coming to AA. This is better than TV. I mean, look around, you know? This is just great stories. I mean, miracles. I mean, look at the people around you, how God touches our souls and gives us a program of recovery. And we're just asked to carry it to somebody else. So Sundays are the worst day for me. So I got to go speak at a meditation meeting at the West Broward Club Sunday night, which was good. And I shared my story. And this lady comes up after the meeting. And she gives me a note about a grieving class that they have in Plantation. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, wow, probably meet a witch riddle here. Because that's where my mind goes. I'm thinking, nah, not for me. But hey, maybe it'll be a rich woman there. So I put that thought away. But I don't know, sometimes I feel funny talking about that. But it's my truth. I get sad. Just because I'm 40 years sober doesn't mean I don't have to deal with the human condition, the emotions. And so I do. Every day. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I read this card. And it's upon awakening. This is very important for me. And I encourage you to have some kind of discipline in the morning or throughout the day, because we deal with alcoholism. Centers in the mind. It's cunning. It's baffling, powerful. And it may not come in a drink, but it'll come in a lot of different forms for me. And so I have to get right first thing in the morning. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially that we be divorced from self-pity, dishonesty, selfish, and self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. And our thought life would be placed on a much higher plane when thinking about wrong motives. So the next thing I do is I keep this pad next to my bed. So I get up and then I'll start writing. And it's all, I always start out with that. So today it was, thank you, Lord. Please direct my thinking. Please show me how I can best serve thee. Because I'm trying to get out of myself. I'm trying to get out of the negative thinking. I pray that thy will be done, not mine. Please help me, Lord. Because I have some friends that are really struggling. So I do a lot of time praying for them. I have a daughter that just moved home. She was living up in Crystal River. All my daughters call me Paulie B. So she shows up one Thursday night. She says, hey, Paulie B, you mind if I stay a few days? I said, absolutely not, because I like having this daughter around. And she says, oh, good, because I got all my stuff in the car. So we got us another roommate. But she's in a lot of pain. She loses her mom, and then she breaks up a relationship she's been in. But she knew where to come, and I'm really happy to have her. I know what it is to be lonely and not have a place to go. That's the way I drank. Before I got here, when I was drinking all the time, I'd have a girlfriend that had a car and a couch for me to sleep on, because that's what I did. I could not keep it together. So I was happy to have her. And she's a great cook. How she deals with her emotions is she cleans. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. I didn't recognize my bedroom when I went in there. All the Halloween lights are up. So that's how she deals with this. You know, that's how she deals with her human condition. But this is what's very important to me. I have to write. I have to write stuff down, and because that's how I connect with God. I can connect through prayer and meditation, and that's really where the power of this program comes from in the 11th step. The real power comes from sitting, asking for guidance, the power for him to show me the way to carry this out. You know, just because I'm not drinking doesn't mean I don't get sad and alcoholic thoughts come up. But I know what to do with them now. I acknowledge them. I don't stuff them. Because if I don't consistently do a 10th step, that stuff comes out in rage. And we all know what rage is. A lot of us were raised with it. A lot of us experience it. And I certainly don't want to be that person. So I pay attention to what this stuff says. Ask for help, humbly seek him to stay close to him. Please fill me with your love and joy. And then I read a couple of books here. I read The Upper Room here. It's Dr. Bob and Ann Smith used to use in their morning meditations before they had the big book. It's a little bit of a religious book. So I try to take what I read here and apply it to the AA program. And today it talked about capable. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So if you come here and you stay with us and you abide by these 12 steps to the best of your ability and you get a sponsor, you get a home group, there's going to be juice you're going to get to learn how to stay away from a drink, but to learn how to be a better person and have a message to carry to the next person God puts in front of us. Because that's really why we're chosen. That's my opinion. And then the thought of the day was, today I humbly seek help of only Jesus can give. Now, that doesn't have to be your belief, and I don't mind if I offend you. This is what works for me. And it may not work for you. Probably won't work for you. But my higher power is threefold today. It was the Father who sends the Son, who they don't like, so they crucify him. He's just trying to be a good person. He's got a group of sponsees. They go all over the country carrying the message on how to get better. They don't like that either. They don't like that either. So he's got to go. He's got to go back up to where he's coming from. But he leaves us with a spirit, the spirit within. Deep down in each and every one of us, according to the book that I believe in here, is the fundamental fact that there's God. And I come here hoping that my spirit will touch your spirit, because your spirit definitely touches mine. I see miracles in this room. Miracles, daily miracles. If you didn't drink today, you're a miracle. Anybody thinking about drinking? Anybody? Wow, 2,000 people in this room. That's for the people on Zoom. And nobody's thinking about drinking. Now, that's the first defect of character God removed from me, was the obsession to drink. I started drinking at 13 years old. And I drank until I was 33. I had my last drink, 33. But I went to my first meetings when I was 30. I got a camel story. My friends bring me to my first meeting at a place called the Camel Club, which I think is a very odd name. And the guy says, well, he says, you won't understand that. He was right. And he said, a camel is an animal that goes for 24 hours without a drink, goes to sleep on its knees, and it wakes up on its knees. I didn't understand it. My immediate thought was, well, that's some worthless knowledge I'll never use. Because I'm a smart guy. I know a lot of stuff. But I understand that today. I get on my knees before I go to bed. And if we can get through 24 hours without taking a drink, we got it. That's all this is about, not drinking for one day, for a while. Then we have to start doing other stuff. And when I get up in the morning, I read this stuff, I get on my knees. So the rest of the prayer was, Dear Heavenly Father, help me to remain close to you so that I may be filled with your love and joy. Now, those certainly weren't my thoughts when I got here at all. I was dead on the inside. I had a terrible soul sickness. And I had no idea it was drugs and alcohol until I started coming hanging out with you folks that were going to show me what the problem was and then give me the solution. So I come and I admit I am powerless, reluctantly. My life was unbearable. I thought about suicide on a real regular basis. And I find the power through people like you in meetings like this. And what the book says is just open your mind to power greater than yourself. Because I came in confused because I was raised with religion. I started working in the steps in my first meeting. I was there 30 seconds already picking and choosing what was going to work for me. I struggled. Because I didn't open my mind. I did not listen to the message. I had my old ideas, my old emotions, and my own thoughts that were killing me. So I got to put all that stuff on the shelf and open my mind to a loving God that I found it talks about in the second tradition. He expressed himself in his group conscience. I saw you people getting sober, staying sober, and being very happy. And handling very difficult situations, losing jobs, losing all kinds of stuff. But you seemed to be reasonably happy, and I could see that. I appreciated that. And I got the hope that if it could work for you, it could certainly work for me. And that's what I had to hang on to. I had a relapse in April. All my relapses were in New Orleans. My oldest daughter lives there. Now, when I said my life was unbearable, she was about 8 or 9 years old, and I'm running this bar, and I come to every morning with that soul sickness and that, what's wrong with me? I don't know it's the drugs and the alcohol. I think it's everybody else picking on me. And we had a shotgun over the safe in the back of the bar. And I would come to remorse, guilt, sick, suffering. And I would think about blowing my brains out. But I know today that God was doing for me, even back then, carrying me. Footprints in the sand. And I just didn't want her knowing that blew my brains out in the back of the bar. And she is now 55 years old. Very successful in New Orleans. I had a really great conversation with her today because I wasn't feeling good on my way to Miami, so I go through YouTube and I found this reading by C.S. Lewis that taught me that my God is bigger than anything and that whatever I'm going through is meant to be. And I really listened to that, and then I passed it to her, and I passed it on to another friend of mine who was really struggling. And then I listened to it again tonight before I came over here. How do we get from where we were? Sick and suffering, suicidal, to where we are today? We change. And that's what I listened today about change, how to change, what to change. That we all go through struggles. We all go through difficult times. And we just have to change. The whole, when we read the appendix 2 in the back, that's all about change. That we open our mind to different thinking. We become willing to do stuff we don't want to do, I didn't want to do. And then I take some action. Every time there's a surrender in my life, I got to surrender, then I got to take an action. So I'm always taking a lot of action. You know, I'm pretty much involved in AA. Save my life. I can never give back everything that's given to me. The power of this program. And we're some pretty fortunate people. Hey, think about the last 6 weeks before you get here. How are you doing? Think about that. And then think about the people that brought you to your first meeting. Man, I thought they were crazy. Come on, come hang out with us. No, I don't want to go. But I did. And then I made some notes about my other religious book here. This was a very good one today. In order to hear my voice, you must release all your worries into my care. So what's that? We turn it over. We start to live a turned over life. Yes, I've got these problems, Lord. Can you help me with them? Can you show me the way? And we all know what worries do to us. Robs me of peace of mind. Can very easily make me selfish and self-centered and angry. So I got to acknowledge, like I had to admit I was powerless over alcohol, I got to acknowledge that there is a problem. My sponsor always reminds us that in order to get out of jail, you got to know you're in jail. So for me, I got a problem. Now what do I do about it? And that's where I pick up the pen. Or I talk to him. Or I got a bunch of guys in AA I'm very close to. And I don't mind telling them my disease. Because I try not to have any secrets today. And trust me with everything that concerns you. This clears a way for you to seek my face unhindered. Let me free you from the fear that is hiding deep inside of you. Yes, deep inside. Fears. False evidence appearing real. So I gotta write those fears down. Then I got to turn that over. Sit quietly in my presence, more 11th step, allowing my light to soak into you, drive out the darkness lodged within you. So if you're going through a tough time, if you got some darkness, if you're fearful, what I suggest you do is you pick up a pen, you start doing a daily inventory, and you really start to practice the third, seventh, and 11th steps. Humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings and be honest with myself, because self-deception was always a big part of my disease. And self-deception, I've run into the program. I was borrowing my boss's money. He didn't know it. That's a tough one. Accept each day just as it comes to you. Remember that I am sovereign over your life. He's in control. Rejoice in this day I've made, trusting that I am abundantly present in you. Instead of regretting or resenting the way things are, thank me in all circumstances. Now, that's tough to do when you're in a painful situation and you can muster up the courage to say, hey, I don't like this, but thank you. Because my experience is when I go through those times, it always comes out much better than I can ever imagine. Think about your drugs and alcohol. Where did that lead you? Let us hear. To a group of people that are only concerned about us not drinking and how we can become better people so that we have a message to carry to the next person God puts in front of us. Trust me and don't be fearful. Thank me and rest in my sovereignty. And then there's some, you know, some verses in there that I look up and I read and I pass around. So I send these two readings out to a bunch of people every morning. I've got my three daughters and my two granddaughters reading this stuff, and they always thank me every day. I wish them well. So that they can start their day off without, I mean, one's 22, one's 25, the granddaughters, and then my daughters are 33 and 45 and 47. So, you know, they got some thinking going on, especially my 33-year-old. She's great. Yeah, she's a thinker. But, you know, they're all good kids. My wife did a tremendous job raising them. And I have good relationships with them where we could pretty much talk about anything. And I encourage them, like, oh, look, if you're struggling, please let me know. Now, I wasn't raised in a household like that. You know, my household was, look, sit down, shut up. We don't talk about that stuff. And then where do you learn to dump that stuff? On the corner, smoking weed and drinking beer. So I encourage my daughters to stay close to me. There's nothing I wouldn't do for any of my daughters within reason. And that's become a big part of my higher power. Our Father. Our Father. Our Father. I would do anything for them. And just like my Father that I pray to will do anything for us if it's the right thing. If I rightly can put my will with his will, it's usually a pretty good day. One of the other things I was thinking about today is the slender threads. Most of you know about the cab driver, the people that bring me to my first meeting. I relapse. I end up going I come off a plane. I end up in a cab driver who's in the program. I don't know it because I got the ping pong match. You're going to pick up a chip? You're not going to pick up a chip? And through a series of events, I end up in this cab in the Fort Lauderdale Airport. He says, hey, where you been? I said, I've been partying all weekend in New Orleans. And he says, I don't drink anymore. I said, uh-oh. I said, how do you do that? He says, I go to AA meetings. I said, I've been out on a relapse. He says, what do you want to do about it? I said, I'd like to go pick up a chip. So April 17th, 1985, he drives me to a meeting in Fort Lauderdale, and I picked up my last white chip. Ninety days later, the old thinking returns. I should probably go see how my daughter is doing in New Orleans. Because I'm starting to feel good. I'm starting to make money. I'm starting to feel healthy. You know, I'm forgetting about the last relapse, how devastating it was. And I had a home group that was on Las Olas called the Express Group. So I go to the meeting. And the guy speaking that night, man, he touches my heart. He's a boat captain. And I'm identifying with him because he carries a pistol. And I like that. I like people that carry pistols. You had to do that in the bar business in New Orleans. Thank God I never shot myself. So he says how he got to AA was he was in prison in Massachusetts. And what happened was he was a blackout drinker. And he came to holding a pistol against his chest, which I like him already, man. I used to think about blowing my brains out and I'd pass out. And he looks across the room and he shot his wife right in the head in a blackout. And I knew as I was supposed to be at that meeting that night to hear that message, because God shook me right there and said, listen, Paul, you better start paying attention to what's going on around here. You can't take this for granted as much as you do. You got to change. And my sponsor was at the meeting, and I went and told him that I was thinking of going back to New Orleans. And I didn't go for quite a while because I had to build up the foundation of coming to meetings and being serious about my alcoholism and about my recovery, how I changed my ideas and my actions. And I knew I was supposed to be there that night. He was a boat captain from, he went to the 101 club. And I would see him occasionally. He was a good guy. But I knew right there where I belonged and what I needed to do. So the rest of the stuff I do on a daily basis, I always read the daily reflections. Today was to talk about the spiritual axiom. When I'm disturbed, it's me. Why do I get disturbed? Resentments, selfishness, dishonesty, fear, traffic. I learned in AA a very valuable lesson. You can only drive one car at a time. So I can't be worried about other people. And when I catch myself clutching, man, I just back off and say, hey, please, I don't like the way I feel. Please remove this. And then I'll put on, you know, some Joe and Charlie or Mike and Thomas. I listen to them all the time. And today was a C.S. Lewis, man. It was just what I needed to hear. And then I read the 24-hour book, and it's Learn to Listen to God. And then I do my 10th step, and I'm in depth with it. You know, I'm brought into this program always negative. Always negative. So the way I change my thinking now is I look for the positive stuff every day that I can appreciate. Anybody see the moon tonight? Yeah. Oh, my God, huh? How do you not appreciate that? Big, full moon is beautiful. Now, I never paid attention to that stuff unless I was outside trying to roll a joint, you know? I see that and I say, thank you, Lord. That's powerful. So you know, I asked myself, what did I do I liked and respected myself for today? First thing I write down is I did my 11th step. My daughter had the wisdom not to drive Sunday night because she had been in a shower, baby shower. So I took her to get her car. Now, that's wisdom. You know, she knows what happens to people that drive drunk and cause trouble. So she leans on me, and I'm happy to do it. Then I get to go to my home group, where I get to make the coffee. My home group, you know, the other thing about meditation, the word meditate is to give thought to. So a couple of us gave thought to this at my home group. We wanted to have a dinner. We were going to the Miami Men's Group breakfast. And we decided at our home group at East Naples, we would have a dinner. The group anniversary is in January. So we gave thought to it. And now we're probably on, the group's 27 years, 30 years. And it's the one night a week. It's a men's group that we invite the women, the spouses, the families to see what their husbands do on Monday nights. And it was just to see them, how AA works in their lives and our lives. And we do all our own cooking. It's really a great event. We had a fabulous speaker last year that gave a tremendous message. Yes, you do. What a gift to A.A. Broward, huh? She shows up, huh? She shows up at Broward and just touches so many hearts, you know? Gift from God. It's on my gratitude list there. Many times. So, I go to a home group. We get to make coffee. My grandson turned 18 yesterday. I got to go to his party. The joy I'm looking for in this program. You know, all my grandkids were there, almost all of my daughters, my son-in-law, and it was a good time. What did I do for somebody else? Well, I send those readings out, and this is where I really got to look to get out of myself and look to help other people's. I send these readings out, and then I make a lot of text messages. I probably get 20 text messages every day from different people, all recovery related. And then I make phone calls. And then I went to the party, and it was a great time. And then where did I struggle? Oh, no, before that. What happened today that had nothing to do with me made me feel good. Seeing that moon. Seeing you guys pick up chips tonight. I have nothing to do with that. But man, that makes me feel good. It shows me you're interested in staying sober, even if it's just for today. Come back tomorrow. Try to get another day. That makes me feel good. When I come up here and see people get medallions, that makes me feel good. When I look at this table right here, these tables, I know most of you people. It makes me feel good to see that you're still here enjoying your sobriety. One of my sponsees, we have a beginner's meeting. The other thing we gave thought to in meditation was the format of our group. Someone brought it to the group, I don't know, probably 6-7 years ago, that we should have a beginner's meeting. So it got voted down, and then they brought it up again, and it got voted. So our format on Mondays at 6 o'clock is a beginner's meeting. Where we do the first step and then 2, 3, and then sponsorship. And there's very few beginners there because it's, you know, it's an established group. But every once in a while, some newcomers show up. And we get to talk about those steps. One of the guys I sponsored did the meeting. And that made me feel good. One of my other sponsees shared some stuff going on in his life. That made me feel good. And then the second meeting was on the 10th step, 10th tradition. And that guy's very knowledgeable. He's a lawyer. He has a way of putting his point across in a great way. And he talked about how important the 10th step is for us. You know, the way I see it, it clears me from the wreckage of the present. 4 and 5, the wreckage of the past. Step 10, the wreckage of the present. To be on top of that stuff, the spiritual accent. When I'm disturbed, it's me. It's not you guys. I think it's you guys. But when I examine it, we know what's really going on. It's me. So I have to be on top of that. And then I ask myself at the end, where did I struggle today? Do I own amends? Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Was I fearful? Was I resentful? You know what? When you can answer no to that stuff most of the time, you're on a pretty good beam. And yes, I get fearful. I am really, I have a concern for a friend of mine that's not doing well. I wasn't dishonest and I wasn't selfish. But all I can do is continue to turn this all over to a loving God that takes people like us out of the gutter and says, hey, go hang out with these folks. They got a program. Just go pay attention to them. You may not like them at first. I didn't come in here skipping and, hey, can't wait to get to AA, baby. You know why? Because they were going to take away my joy of the drugs and alcohol. But when I surrendered and put this fine tuned piece of machinery in his hands, things got really good for me. And then we're promised an awakening of the spirit, a profound personality change that we read about in the Appendix 2. It's all about change. Mine was very gradual. My first meeting, my relapses, first time I put my hand on an AA door. And then coming here tonight and be able to tell you a little bit about myself and how the grace of God has come into me and showed me a whole new way of life. And listen, it's available to anybody that wants it. If you're struggling, ask for help. Don't believe the lie that addiction tells us that you can't have this. You can have this, and it's available. There's a whole toolkit laid at our feet. Pick them up and use them. Thank you.